This is a HeadGum Podcast.
What's up, shitheads? Welcome back to another episode of High and Mighty. It's me, your boy, the number one book boy, Johnny G, standing 6'2", 301 pounds. He's coming down, folks. Still above three bills, though. From the south shore of Nassau County, Long Island, it's John Gabris. All you gotta do is trust me. Jackson Maine from A Star Is Born, still here. Yes, maybe you should take a second to think of a new intro at some point. Abortion is healthcare. That is still important. Correct. Also joining me in the High Mighty Studios, my nearly silent co-host, Arthur Gabris. Arthur, give him a shout out. He is a dog, but this is one of the rare occasions my wife is not home. So he is in the studio. It's a rare Arthur appearance. To be fair, he is now 14 years old, which is 90-something in dog years. So he is deaf and does not hear me screaming his name, even though he's arm's length away from me because he's sleeping in a pile of still warm laundry, one of his favorite things to do. Also joining me in the High and Mighty Studios, returning guest and a newbie. We got them both from the football friends that are gambling or who are gambling. I think it's FF Wag. It's Colin Crawford and Joe McAdam.
Hi, John. We talk like this on the podcast the whole time, right? That's what we're doing the entire time.
I went regular. Damn it.
Can you do that for a, you think you could do that for a whole show? You could hold that energy.
I think I could do it for a 15-minute set, and then I would either be I think my limitations would be cardio and shame.
Yeah. I mean, that's the name of your memoir, maybe.
Yeah. The brutal thing would be is that when it works and, like, it kills, and then I'm like, fuck, is this who I, like, need to be now?
I have, like, to escalate off of this? Like,
what a nightmare.
This is my first beat. What am I supposed to do now?
Okay, just 25 more minutes of full volume screaming. Dudes, so stoked to have you. We are recording this in late September, so we are a few weeks into the NFL season. You guys have the a seasonal podcast, the Football Friends.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I mean, it's supposed to go till we run out of money, but that turned out to just be a lie where we just keep putting more money in.
We ran out of money week one instantly. we accidentally bet, or I accidentally bet on esports instead of actual football.
Joe bet on a Madden sim.
It was on this app, like, right next to real games. And I was like, yeah, this looks... All right. And I lost
Oh, that's heartbreaking, man. It's placing the wrong bet. I'm so fucked up when I'm at the casinos that, like, the amount of times I look at my little piece of paper just to confirm or double check. Like, I'll be at the, like, blackjack table and lean over to a stranger and, like a West Indian woman just barely, like, is paying. And I'm just like... This Raiders is over, right? And she's like, oh my. Like, I get so overwhelmed when I go there. I have to, like, run my lines in line. I'm like, okay, you want the 17, the money line, Giants 100. Like, you know, just like saying it to myself over and over.
They speak a different language at casinos. That's too much new stuff. I got yelled at a craps table for saying the wrong thing. Like, they have different words. I said, can you lay a bet on this? And the guy goes, excuse me? And I was like, can you lay a bet on four or whatever? And he goes, do you mean place a bet? I was like, fuck off, man. That's not. Who cares? You know exactly what I mean.
Also, gamers, if I'm at a blackjack table and you're like, is this the over? I'm like, hey, can you not be a dark reflection of who I am right now? Can you not make me look myself in the face, please?
That's most of my issues with other people at casinos. I'm like, look at this fucking fat slob in a tank top and shorts fucking betting $10 and talking up a storm, and he fucking reeks of bud and he's had like a dozen beers. Like, who drinks beer? And then all of a sudden I'm like, oh fuck, that's a reflection in the ceiling.
That guy went to Princeton.
The fucking king of a tiny kingdom, man. The croupiers, the stick men, all those craps people. God. I spend a lot of time at craps tables. I have to, like, win them over like they are in-laws. Like, it's humiliating. I have to, like,
they start off mad at you.
Yeah, they just are like, we're pissed at you. And I'm like, okay. Well, imagine how I feel. I just lost $400 in 6 minutes.
You need to match that and be mad at them. Be the angry guy. Everybody loves it.
I know. I wish I had the balls because, like, I'm never betting enough to feel like I deserve to be mean. Like, you know what I mean? Like, if one day I'll be a high roller and then I'll be like, hey, knock it off, you fucking prick. Lay a bet on these tits, you fucking pigs.
Bet on these. How much do you have to bet to be able to say lay a bet on these tits, you fucking pig? What's the minimum bet for that? Oh, I didn't know you were a whale. Yeah. Excuse me, sir.
Oh, Mr. Gabrus, right this way. Tit pigs. Okay. This is a special room.
Get the high roller room for this. Whale tits. Let's do this.
When we were going to talk, we decided against talking about football and gambling just because of, you know, to push people to go fucking listen to Football Friends. A very fun podcast, by the way. A live show we did for the Super Bowl last year where we almost lost Cullen. So if,
like, it was touching. Gamble with more than money, baby.
I know. We're pushing the fucking limits of the human body at this point. It's funny. I made a flank steak to go over salad for lunch, and I was eating it, I remember we were recording together, and I had like it all washed back over me, the entire experience of watching you almost pass away in front of us.
For everyone who doesn't know, at our live show, Joe made a bunch of brisket. I ate some on stage to like try and get everyone like encouraged to go up and get some food. And so I'm chewing it, and I, like, swallowed it too soon to, like, speak into a microphone. And then it got stuck in my throat in what is known as steakhouse syndrome.
And this is, I hear about steakhouse syndrome for the first time ever and think Cullen is riffing some fucking dark, hilarious shit. I'm like, oh, that sounds like it could be real thing.
Yeah.
Right? I wish I was funny enough for steakhouse syndrome. It's like donor cycle. It's like a term doctors come up with to mock fat people, basically. I'm just spitting up into a cup the entire episode because I got meat in my throat, and then I was able to jam it down after the show ended and not have to go to the hospital, which was great.
Because I didn't know about the hospital part of it, and you were like, I'm probably gonna have to go to the hospital again, and like your wife was there and you were like, yeah, we're probably gonna have to go to the hospital. I'm like, oh my god. And then after the show, and I had gotten high because I was like, I'm gonna eat some fucking brisket and talk and play D&D with the boys, it'll be fun. I highly recommend you guys listen to this episode. But then after the show, you just come back from the alley with like a beer, like sweat, like kind of like kind of like watery eyes, and like, and you're like, got it up. And I was like, I felt like I was fucking 19 again. I was like, hell yeah, brother.
It truly ruled. It did feel like being 19.
Like, it was like, he rallied. Like, we were going to like fucking get you right on the fucking funnel again.
The guy you stuck in the bathroom, like, comes out of it. He's sober now.
I'm glad you survived. I got yelled at by the guy that was operating the venue. He's like, your friend is a drunk and barfed all over the place.
I was like, barfing.
It's medical. It's a different thing. I had to explain.
He's a drunk, but he's not drinking today, okay? That was a medical thing that happened. Oh,
I love the idea that I get to the ER and they're like, they open up the delirium tremens beer they have in the pharmacy for me to like do a beer bong to like force this thing down.
Beer bonging a 9.5% ABV beer. Like making the monks proud. I like that Joe got yelled at by the guy from the venue, not for having 9 open flames in the sternos.
He almost killed everyone in that room. It was really, really close. There's like velvet curtains and like open flames and like sloppy people knocking shit over, Cullen singing songs in cowboy boots. It was
a real experience. I urge everyone to come to our live Super Bowl show this year. It's going to be even worse.
I'm going to be there either on stage performing alongside you guys or watching nervously. Speaking of watching nervously, let's talk about Catholicism. I forced that segue, but
no, it's wonderful.
It turns out we were all raised Catholic, and it sounds like to a varying degree. I ended up accidentally going to a Catholic college too. Like, I didn't realize this, but I was. It was not at all like
there was a church on campus and like a priest, a brother that you had to have like a meeting with every semester. But it wasn't as Catholic as it sounds, but it is crazy. Like when someone's like, I'm like, yeah, no, I'm an atheist. I mean, yeah, I was raised Catholic. My mom's crazy. And I guess I went to a Franciscan brother school. Like I guess I'm like, oh yeah, I guess I'm pretty accidentally pretty Catholic. And
I am entering the priesthood. All right. That's a good question. Did either of you want to be priests when you were a kid? Because I did. I thought I was going to be a priest.
Really?
Absolutely.
That's weird.
I bought in. I was like, if God is real, then this is the important job. Like, why would I want to be a fucking fireman or whatever when this is like a ticket to heaven? Like, I want the job that matters. Like,
curious. I want to talk about this because I feel like our age group is like the last generation. Like, I think the generation before us, parents might go like, yes, being a priest is a good, but like, no. Money became so like rampant in the 80s that like my dad, mm-hmm. like even my super Catholic mom would be like, really? You're going to be a priest? Shouldn't you be a lawyer, a dentist? Yeah, it feels, but that's crazy because I knew no one. I knew some kids who were altar boys and like were a little into it. And then I knew kids who were altar boys who were just like true demons that just like were forced to do this. Mm-hmm. But like, were you an altar boy? Were you around the world that much?
Not an altar boy, but I was like, I loved like all the religion classes in school because I was like really, I thought about it instead of just regurgitating shit. And like the priest who was like, I have a special connection with Cullen. And my parents.
Okay. I wasn't going to be a priest, but I was going to marry one someday. Yeah.
To my parents' credit, they saw that and shut that shit down. He was like, I want to tutor your son after school.
Oh, wow.
Don't worry about it. Leave him alone. I had no desire for this. This sounds like nothing I wanted to do.
But did you go to Catholic school, it sounds like?
I went all, yeah, from being a little, like kindergarten to high school, I went to a Jesuit high school.
Shit.
Which is, I guess it could be worse. It could be better.
It's more or less like a private high school.
Yeah.
I mean, the fucked up thing about Catholic high school is it's where they send the kids who were do the fucked up stuff and get kicked out of the like fancy schools, but the parents don't want to send them to public school. So they send them to Catholic school.
Yeah. It's like, cause everyone that like a majority of the kids who went to my college were from the tri-state area and a lot of them were from Long Island, and all the ones from Long Island went to Holy Trinity, St. Anthony's and Kellenberg, like the three big.
We played Kellenberg and lacrosse in high school. Like, we went up there and got our asses handed to us.
Well, yeah, I mean, if that's like all Long Island is known for is lacrosse and like casual racism and and redlining.
Cops.
Suffolk County cops, the highest paid cops in the country. Like, oh, and everyone's proud. That just is enough to explain Long Island in a nutshell.
That's really all you need to know.
I would say 35% of people aspire to be cops or are proud to be friends with cops or to be cop adjacent in some way. Like, it's such a weird thing. Cops are the priests. Like,
I was about to say.
Yeah. Be a cop.
And what other job matters than keeping my neighborhood pure?
Did you go to Catholic school, Cullen?
Yeah, elementary through high school, all through high school.
Catholic. Oh, yeah.
I skipped eighth grade to stay in Catholic school because there wasn't a Catholic middle school when we moved. So my parents like went to the high school and like, yeah, he's pretty smart. Can he skip eighth grade? And they're like, yeah, sure. Why not? So
you
like,
wouldn't have one gap of no Catholicism.
So I wouldn't be exposed to the heathens at public school.
It would ruin your life and turn you around.
Absolutely. Here's a fuck. So, okay. First of all, I did that. And then I went to high school as like, I think I was like 12 and a half years old as a freshman.
Oh, that's a disaster.
It fucked my entire 4 years of high school. Like, it ruined everything.
I know you don't get your driver's license till like after you graduate high school. And and that might cause you to have like a complicated relationship with cars as you become an adult.
Oh yeah, I don't know anything
about it.
Cars,
put too
booze,
much value
gambling,
in
any vice.
For the listeners, Cullen's Zoom background is the hood of his car.
I have a car with a name.
That's fucking crazy. That's terrifying.
It was horrible. It was like I went and a bunch of adult men and women are there. I was like, everyone's nice to you automatically, right? That's my experience with school. Oh. And I was like, nope.
I was not in Catholic school. I was in public school, but I had to go to catechism one night a week, always, all the way up until I got my confirmation, which I guess was like 10th grade or something like that. But it's like I had to go and take like an hour or 2 hour class once a week, just about, not in the summers, thankfully, but like just learning about. And that was like the highlight was it was kids from other schools. So there would be like a new girl, at least like new boobs to look at and like maybe a potential friend from soccer because he's in a different district. But like you're in the same soccer league or something, but mostly it was these like parents of kids who taught these, and clearly they probably taught for free or some nominal like church prestige or whatever. Every single one of them was an absolute piece of shit. Like every single a dude fucking hit me. A guy hit me in the head with a pencil several times, a teacher.
That seems like too late for that. That was like a 70s thing.
We're like, talking about like 94. This guy is fucking like wailing on a 12-year-old. And I remember
Kurt Cobain had just died. He was upset.
It was only like, it was one of like two times in my entire life that my parents sided with me over a teacher. Like it felt like I was like the teacher. And like, cause I didn't even like tell them in like a sad way. We were like laughing about it in the drive home. Like my buddy was like, that was crazy when Mr. Donnelly hit you with the fucking pencil. I'm like, yeah, he was just mad because I knew what consecration was. He thought he was going to stump me. Literally, that's what happened. He's like, and you know what that, and I was like, consecration. And he was like, I answered in such a wise ass way. He walked over and just fucking whacked me a few times.
Wait, you got it right? And you got
I got it right and he hit me.
It was about insecurity. And
yeah, now I can't come unless I'm getting fucking wailed on.
Catechism. That thing of when your parents stick up for you, it feels like it's like the scene with like Magneto joins the X-Men.
Right,
this feels wrong.
I was like, and then like I think now with a lot of my friends who have kids, I just see them be like fully supportive of their kids all the time, and I'm like, man, I would have been like a fucking either a nightmare to be around or a superhero, like a success. Because I the only other time was in third grade, my parents came to like back to school night or parent teacher conferences, and one desk was in the facing away in the corner, and they were like, whose desk is that? They're like, well, that's Jonathan's desk. Then my dad's like, why is he over there? It's like, that's called Siberia. He talks too much to the other kids. So my mom's like, you make him face away from the other. I'm in like third grade and my desk is buried in the corner facing away from everyone else, like 16 feet away. I have to like look over my shoulder when the teacher's teaching it. And my parents like flipped out on her, and they came home and they were like, I can't believe you never mentioned Siberia. I was like, I'm pretty sure I did. Like, I just don't think you guys listen to me at all.
I probably thought you would hit me if I told you.
Oh, yeah. I'm going to come home and be like, Mom, I got in trouble at school today. No, if you don't find out, if you don't find the credit, the report card shredded and in the toilet like I've been doing for like 6 months, like, I'm not going to tell you guys.
It feels weird they'd leave it there for the conferences. Like, put it back.
Cover your fucking trail.
What are you
doing? Cover the paper trail. Joe, both of you guys, what's your relationship with Catholicism now? I'm sure I could venture a guess.
Oh,
but
boy.
Like, I mean, I know, Cullen, you are a priest now.
Yeah, I am a priest. I wanted to be a priest, and I am one.
It's easy. It's really easy.
When you're a priest, they let you do it.
I've got no connection anymore to it other than like my remembering shit. My grandma was really into it. She had 11 kids, real Catholic, just firing them out. And she wanted me to be a priest. And then I thought that was a terrible idea. I don't know why like she liked it so much, but she was super into it. And she's just, you know, old people, you know. It's like, that's the way. You got to have 11 kids to keep your family alive, I guess.
Joe was like a real, like, normal, well-adjusted dude. Like, so I'm always like, oh, you got out clean somehow. Like,
yeah.
I don't have a huge lingering Catholic thing. And it's, I'm shocked. Everybody has one. I didn't, nothing horrible happened to me. Didn't like it that much.
Yeah, nothing horrible really happened to me, except it's funny. I still have, like, one annoying foot in there because my mom is so religious that whenever and she's like suburbs religious, she's like not reading the Bible or like helping out at like food kitchens. That's not the word I'm looking for. But like, she's not helping the community in any way. She just goes to church every Sunday, knows the priests, has like this weird sliding belief system that allows her to like go to a psychic to communicate with my dead father, but not like
that's a Catholic adjacent thing, speaking to the dead, right? Like that's partially.
There's no, I don't know about that.
I think there's a lot
of mysticism. They got a lot of like saints and shit.
I said to my mom, I was like, "Oh, have you talked to your priest about going?" Because like I'm always just like poking, like, but I've never. I still have to deal with it. And then like up until like a couple of years ago, every time I went home for Christmas or something, we had to go to Christmas Eve mass or Christmas mass. And that was honestly part of the, and this is crazy because it's like only 2 hours or 90 minutes of my day, but it's part of the reason my wife and I just stopped going home for the holidays.
I was like, not to go to church.
Yeah, I was like, you don't understand. I want to leave this shit in the fucking rearview mirror, mom. Like I don't care about this.
A point where you can't pretend to like the stuff or do the stuff, the kneeling and the songs and the holding hands and praying and stuff. I was like, I don't want to do any of the pretending
so
stuff
like,
anymore.
Like you said about catechism, I was like, late in my church career, all I did was just, I would fuck that girl, I'd fuck that girl, that one looks good. Like that's truly all church was for, was just scanning the room.
Dude,
I'm like, Natural disaster strikes. Here's who I'm going for.
I have a hard time. I did that in my 20s on the subway every time. I'd be like, if this thing gets stuck forever, who's my subway wife? You know, like,
it's funny, Jared from Subway.
Oh, yeah. He gave us a hard drive. We should take a look at it when we get home. I used to. So Sundays when I was growing up was also the day we had Taekwondo. And so my mom would take me, my buddy, my Cuban friend Chris, and his mom. They would pick us up from karate. We would go get bagels, eat like a bacon, egg, and cheese or whatever, and then go to church our gis. With nice. I would like, if this is not the most like Long Island 80s shit, 90s shit ever, I'd be in my gi with a Giants jacket over it, like a Giants winter
like a
jacket
Halloween
over
costume.
My gi. Yeah. And just like, but my mom always left after communion. That was like one free thing we had. My mom, you know, we would get our communion, be like, and then eat it and keep walking out.
Oh,
like
we noticed those families. We kept track of those families.
I think God does, 100%. Too. I think God
what
does
I like about that, too, is it's like everything after communion is basically just the actual community part of church.
Yes.
Of like,
right, the important
this person
part.
Had a, like, yeah, fuck this. I don't need to know about my friends and neighbors.
I don't want to run into anybody on my way out of this place. I'm leaving early, beating the crowd. Forget.
Yeah, like, I was, like I said, super bought in at a very young age. Like, so for me, Catholicism was like, I stayed up every night thinking about hell and thinking about, I was afraid of heaven, like, because heaven is eternal and like eternity sounded like a trap to me. So like, wow. I was like super fucked up by Catholicism and like the guilt and everything of it. And then like puberty hit and I was like, I started reading books and I was like, you know what? Fuck all of this sort of at the same time. But it still sticks like, and not to bring it down too much, but like the idea of God existing and loving me filled like a hole. That is not been filled since.
Right. Well, I mean, I don't think you're alone in that sentiment.
Yeah.
And I do think that's what it is doing for a lot of people. And I think there are new ways to feel community in like in the modern age that
Nexium.
Yeah, like exactly.
Nexium. Yeah. Midnight volleyball.
Yeah. Well, once you're talking to the Vanguard, you do feel a sense of community that and you love his hair.
I mean, it's corny as fuck, but comedy has been the closest thing to that.
Yes,
like,
exactly.
You know.
Exactly. It's got its own like rituals. It's got, and honestly, it's not corny. I mean, it is corny, but I am in agreement with you. Yeah. Because that's like what I was thinking of. Like, honestly, like UCB in my 20s, I was like, this is better than fucking God. Like, I'm just.
And we all care about the same fucking thing. Like, we all care about it truly. Like,
yeah, we all care about it. We all have strong opinions about the theories and the theology of it all. Like, it's, we all worship like slightly variants. Like, you know, there's like slight variants in there. It's like the Protestant versus fucking Lutheran or whatever, but we're all fucking around under Christianity.
But I do know that like no matter how much I'm like atheist and don't believe in this shit, which I truly do not, I know that when I'm on my deathbed I'm gonna be like, oh no, hell, like I know it's coming.
Oh no, not hell.
It better not. This better not be hell coming. It's funny you say that because I am atheist and have been for a while. And then when my dad was dying about like 12 years ago, my mom, or maybe a little more now, my mom, who's very religious, was so she had this priest she loved, Father Valentino. My mom's last maiden name is Valentino. She loved this Indian priest named Father Valentine. He had a great accent and she was obsessed with him. And he was really mental. She would be like, I go to Father Valentine's mass. I know it's not on my schedule, but I like his oration or whatever. And then when my mom wanted someone to read my dad his last rites because he was in a hospice bed in our house. Father Valentine was like out of the country on a mission and like broke my mom's heart. But then she was like, I don't want anyone else to do it then. Then like,
holy shit.
It's crazy.
That's
and then a couple,
yeah.
And then a couple of days later, my dad was still alive a couple of days later when Father Valentine got back, and it meant so much to my mom. And I'm standing there watching a last rite ceremony, which I think I only know priests and men laying in beds from like exorcism movies, but I'm watching and I'm watching the look on my mom's face. Like, and like afterwards she's like, wasn't that beautiful? And that was like the first time in my life. I'm like, well, how about you're not a wise ass in this one moment? Yeah. Like, how about you're just like, and then I just saw the secular power of religion in that moment.
Yeah.
And I had a new level of understanding for it. Like, for me, it would be like if I was dying and I got to see like a beautiful piece of nature or like, you know, or like a hysterical Harold.
It's like I'm dying getting blown while watching a Harold.
But there's no need to be like the Bill Maher guy about it. You know what I mean? Like, that's the process of being an atheist.
There's never any reason to be Bill Maher about it.
Yeah. But like, that's, I feel like that's one of the things that I wanted to do is not be involved with the church and not believe. I didn't believe in God. And then there became like a crop of like really annoying atheists that made me be like, I don't know if I am that because that's not fun. But then I'm just like, yeah, I can just be, I don't have to like Ricky Gervais to be an atheist, I guess.
I remember thinking like, oh, what does agnostic mean if these guys are atheists? Tell me more about it. Yeah.
Is there something else I can be? I do want to say for your mom, I love that beautiful moment happened. She was really rolling the bones with your dad's soul.
I know.
Oh shit.
Well, where do you think I got my gambling bug from? My mom is a crazy gambler. She's constantly calling me, being like, "We can just go to Vegas, right?" And I'm like, "Well, you know, me and Tiff." She's like, "Well, Tiffany doesn't really gamble." Like, it's like, I'm like, all right, so you're like boxing my wife out of this trip so I can just go with just my mom to Vegas. You know how unappealing that sounds.
You gotta do it once. You gotta do that one time.
Oh,
I've done it. I've done it a handful of times.
Good.
We've done Atlantic. Well, you know, I'm from Long Island, so we did Atlantic City so many times.
Absolutely.
And then growing up, my parents went to Atlantic City once a month overnight. And we would have like my grandma come stay with us and like we'd have to like deal with her and her crazy. This has nothing to do with what we're talking about. My grandmother was just like a crazy liar. Like everything was like an insane lie. Like I'd be like, Dad, you never told me that grandma lived in Japan for a while and married a millionaire. She's like, that's not fucking true. And it's like, oh, in hindsight, it's like now that I'm a grown up, it's like, oh, she was just like an alcoholic.
Just lying to children.
That's a huge swing of a lie.
Yeah, I know.
It's a massive swing.
Someone told me Mima killed Hitler.
Another day, started with a nice chug of AG1 by Athletic Greens. Oof, yeah, baby. You know me, I love my AG1. I take it every morning before I start my day, before I have my coffee, before I go to the bathroom. I get my AG1 in because I like to start the day on a healthy, as you've heard me say countless times, making that healthy, you know, it starts at night. You know, try to go to bed early, wake up at a decent time, stay off my phone. And then the first thing I do in the morning is smash down some Athletic Greens so that I can take that one step in the healthy direction, and then hopefully the rest of my day will follow. Hopefully I'll eat I don't eat breakfast, but then I'll have a coffee, and then I'll at lunch, maybe I'll make another healthy choice. And then here I am making healthy choices throughout the day, and all because I started with the first choice of taking AG1. Now it's like a real thing that you can, it's a real healthy thing that you could do. It takes under a minute. It's just one scoop of powder mixed with water. I recommend cold water. It makes it go down even better. So that's why I love it. I can't take pills in the morning. They make me nauseous. So with one scoop of AG1, which has 75 vitamins, minerals, and whole food sourced ingredients of the highest quality, give me major benefits like gut, mood support, boosted energy. Hey, and even healthier looking skin, hair, and nails. You see, girl, you've seen my hair, skin, and nails. I got it going on thanks to AG1. Also, I got these little travel packets. So even when I go camping or spend the night, literally, I went camping last month, and I brought AG1 packets for me and all of the guys I was camping with. We shook them up in the morning, got our day started right. So if you're looking for an easier way to take supplements, Athletic Greens has got you. And they're also offering a free one-year supply of vitamin D and 5 free travel packs with your first purchase. So go to athleticgreens.com/mighty. That's athleticgreens.com/mighty. athleticgreens.com/mighty. Check it out. So now I have like no relationship with the religion, and I'm okay with that. And I don't think I have a relationship with like any religion, really.
Yeah.
But I find it fun in a sort of comic booky, paranormal, cryptid way to be like, yes. Well, what if? Like, what if some of this shit is real? That's fun. I don't care if it is or not, but the idea, like, I don't care if like aliens are real, it doesn't affect me, but it's intriguing. Like, it's fun to be like, that's cool if they are.
But yeah, what if the Da Vinci Code is real? Have you seen that?
That's awesome.
Awesome. It's like Catholic James Bond, and I love it. It's the funniest.
I'm embarrassed that like maybe a year and a half ago, I watched all three, and I didn't even know there was a third one.
I didn't know either. This is great news.
Johnny, have you seen The Name of the Rose?
No.
You got to get into The Name of the Rose, my man. It is a movie where Sean Connery is like a monk who solves mysteries. He's like the monk Sherlock Holmes. And he goes to a monastery where there's been a murder, and he solves the murder, and the murder's over like deep Catholic doctrine argument. Like, it's the most it's Catholic Catholic Sherlock Holmes. It fucking rules.
I really liked Stigmata. I like those, like, because Catholicism, just like for some reason when I was a kid. A lot of people my age, a lot of boys my age really were into like Greek mythology when you learned it in school, because it was like X-Men more or less.
Yeah,
you know?
This guy shoots lightning. Basically. This guy does like super fast.
So yeah, exactly. So when you hear about like these Catholic, like the exorcisms and the shit like that, that's where it starts to seem like D&D a little.
Yeah, exactly.
And you're like, wait, there were Knights Templar? And then you're like, okay, tell me more. And that shit, like anytime, and then like Indiana Jones and like, I guess for a period of time, I was conflating history and religion in a way that made religion seem cooler than it really was. Because really, it was just about learning.
Glow in the dark statue of Saint Michael stabbing the devil with a sword.
It's a good.
And I was like, this shit goes hard.
That's so fucking
sick.
Awesome.
That's an action figure. Yeah.
That's so rad. That's like fucking like. If Catholicism tweaked itself a little bit, it would be like fucking Viking, you know, it'd be like Ragnarok.
Yeah.
You'd be going
the Gen Z kids love like Catholic iconography. It's like a whole thing now. They're wearing the heart, like the flaming heart of Mary and shit. Like all that like deep Catholic iconography is cool with the young people.
Virgin of Guadalupe or something.
Yeah.
Yeah. All that stuff.
I thought because I was Italian, like I thought the crosses went out after a while, but I guess their kids are. Now that you say that, I'm realizing my wife wears a Mary Magdalene pendant. She thinks that's like she like likes the idea that an early working girl in her experience.
Hell yeah!
It's funny how I guess it's not funny, but here's something I want to talk about with Catholicism. They're dying for more people to get into it, yet they make it the most impenetrable
Yep.
Like faction or whatever of anything. It's boring.
Yeah.
It's ritualistic. It's for mm-hmm. dudes only. Like, you know.
Open the doors a little bit more.
Yes!
It's also like, just a little. Jesus.
Every other religion has really, every other like verse of Christianity has come around to the like Jesus loves you. It's all about how he loves you. And this is like, you're born wrong, and then we give you something that will help you. Like right. It's like you're a piece
Without
of shit.
This,
God
you're
hates
fucked.
You.
Yeah.
Well, it's hard to convert to. I don't know why you would. It's got born into it, and then it was just it has to have blindsided them that people just stopped wanting to be it once they were it already. You know, like
I bet you of like I just anecdotally of all the religions, the most ex. Like yes. The most, I guarantee oh, yeah. Catholicism has the most ex-Catholics ever.
Absolutely.
I had a, what's the Mormons came to my house and rang the doorbell and I was like, hey, what's up? And they're like, do you believe in God? And I go, no, I'm an atheist. And they go, oh, okay, well, let's talk. And I was like, I'm formerly Catholic. And they're like, oh, never mind. And they just left. I'm not kidding. They just walked away. They're like, I get it. All right, bye.
Well, it's funny. They were like, that's even more powerful than being an atheist. It's
yes.
Like, I already went
absolutely.
Through the crucible with a guy.
Yeah. I saw
yeah, they're like,
all...
oh, you've been burned bad yeah. before. It's like, oh, that's so, yeah. It's really interesting because it is... It's like a high maintenance religion. Here's the thing that blew my mind. I had a bunch of Jewish friends because I'm from Long Island, so I went to a bunch of bar mitzvahs and shit, and that all seemed like really rad. And then as I got older and grew up, like, and I always like I didn't understand like temple Hebrew school and all that stuff. But then as I got older and like had adult friends who were Jewish and who weren't religious, but the idea that you could be like a secular Jewish person. I was like, wait, yeah. What? And they're like, yeah, yeah. You don't have to be like super religious. They really just want
it's
you know, it's a numbers game for Judaism a little bit where they're like, look, we lost a lot of people. Let's fucking keep as many heads in here as possible. And I think that's brilliant that you could be like, because then you just participate in like the fun shit. Like, you know what
yeah.
I mean? Like even Christmas is like lost its vibe, you know?
And there's like thought behind
Christmas
all the
has
shit.
No vibe.
Like, Christmas has no riz. There's like thought behind all the Jewish stuff of like, all right, we're gonna have a family meal, we're gonna talk about like the history of our people,
right?
Or, like, you know, we're yeah. gonna like forgive ourselves for our sins on the new year. Like, it's all got like, it's like got useful things for just your life. My wife is Jewish, and she doesn't believe in God, and she's like, yeah, most Jews don't believe in God. And I was like, what the fuck are you talking about?
That's so cool. That's so fun. That's like I remember guilt. My buddy Gil Ozeri, former guest Gil Ozeri, explaining at Adam Pally's wedding, they asked me to do the chair thing because I was a big, strong guy. And I was like, oh, and I had the most fun. And then I was like, that was so exciting. And Gil's like, what it mean? The meaning behind it is you're supposed to get them as excited as it's supposed to be as exciting as humanly possible because they are growing and becoming a family man. So this is supposed to be like peak. And I was like, even just that idea behind it. And then you go to a fucking Jewish wedding, it's fucking 12 minutes and food is being served.
Yep.
You go to a Catholic wedding, it's like eat the body of Christ and then take a bus to a fucking hall where you get to finally drink. And it's like, what the fuck is this? And I'll quote Adam Pally here. It's like, he's like, Jews are always just concerned that like they're coming for us. So it's like, let's get this fucking over
let's
with. Let's
moving.
Eat. Let's go. Let's go. Let's get to the food. And like I grew up in an Italian American household, so food was a huge thing. But that's not attached to Catholicism in any way. Like, and it's
no.
like nothing fun is attached to Catholicism. Everything about Christmas that's fun will at Christmas Mass the priest will talk about how it has nothing to do with Christmas.
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
They
make
it. That's the other thing. They teach you to be a like fake gamer girl style guy about Catholicism. Where like I was like 10 years old and a guy brought an acoustic guitar to church and I was like, guitars in church? Like,
doing having fun? Get the fuck out of here! It made me more repressed in ways that aren't religious involved. It's about like dancing or enjoying yourself. I'm like, what are you doing embarrassing
yes.
yourself by dancing? Like
right.
that kind of shit.
We didn't have any
horrible.
Of that built into our like rituals or any of our shit like traditions. There was no like even singing, even like
yes.
the like, and then like in like when I was in my early 20s, I went with a friend to like, I don't even know what denomination it was, but I will call it maybe incorrectly, a black church. And it was fucking,
that's right.
I was like, are you kidding me? This exists? Yeah. I want to go home and be like, Mom, what the fuck are we doing? We could be down the street singing our fucking hearts out, having a fucking blast.
With like the best music I've ever heard in my life. Yeah. Like,
also, and not, I want to talk about corny. If you've ever seen like a live music, religion removed from it. If you've ever seen like a live musician that you like and the crowd all sings along and you're like into it and you're like, that feels more powerful than like reciting the Apostles' Creed.
But about the music, like sometimes I will be like driving in my car with the radio off and I'll just like, it'll pop into my head and I'll be like, I have heard you calling in the night. Like the songs are still burned into my brain. Yeah, I don't know if anyone else has that.
Eagles Wings, that was a banger.
That one was... That's literally one of the best songs I've ever heard in church.
It does.
It's miserable.
Yes.
But it's like it's one of the best ones. I remember it wasn't always a song we sung. And when that would come on, I'd be like, yes. And there would always be some real old lady who's just kind of like, yeah, you're just supposed to sing full volume, whether people are asking. Yeah. Like everyone else is kind of like on eagle's wings, just letting like the cantor really let it rip. And then there's always just some person who also like the people who do their hands up for the Our Father. They were like a little more badass. You're like, okay, you're from a different school, lady. Yeah.
But yeah, there's always one lady in church who's really cannot sing and is belting it out. It's like like Citizen Kane's wife style bad singer.
That was my grandma. That was Rosemary DeSaunier. Yes.
And me and my little brother used to always imitate them and just like crack up laughing in church.
Oh, one of the big ones that my mom got us mad at us for was there's a part of Catholic Mass where like I think it's during the consecration of the body and blood. It's like through him, with him, and then me and my brothers, I don't even remember what it really was because we've adapted it to through him, with him, deep inside of him, like, and we just keep doing like all these like weird sodomy shit, like you can feel it all the way in there, like we just kept saying shit.
Up his butt and around the corner.
Why don't you give him a little bit of a reach around?
Right, where the fudge is made.
When I was real young, we had an Irish priest, like a classic Irish priest, and I still remember like the cadence of him, like forever and ever, amen. Like I just like like I loved his accent.
That's like straight so uncut cool. Shit. That's great. I wish I had one of those. That sounds awesome. Yeah,
that's like as close as you can get to talking to Jesus in like
absolutely.
As like an old Irish priest. And now, like now that you know, like now that I'm a grown up, in quotes, like think about these priests' lives, like. What the fuck is it outside? Even like,
what are they doing?
Even the quote unquote good ones, the ones who don't commit heinous sex crimes, like
the elephant.
What are
the
they
room.
Doing with their time? Yeah.
Well, I think a thing a lot of people don't talk about because the like child shit is so prevalent is like a lot of these guys are like fucking the parishioners' wives. Like,
what?
How are you not this? Like, it is rampant. Like, it's like the head authority figure in your life. Who is also like up on stage every week telling you he can save you.
You're blowing
like,
my mind.
Yeah. Like wives and single ladies, like there's like priest fuckers out there.
There's some,
I guarantee.
Certainly people that were made horny by the priest. It is like a rock star within
its forbidden.
Own community.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's also like that nerd with power, which we know like in every situation, whether it's Mario Batali, the guy from Ain't It Cool News, the guy who runs a fucking improv theater, like, and they, like the nerds when they get power become like really uncomfortable around the women.
I am owed this.
Yeah, it's like I've never really engaged with women on equal footing. Now I finally have power over them, and they are gonna pay. Oh, cool, father.
And it is like
I work
they
in TV,
virgins.
So I've never met anyone like that. Animation is not full of anyone.
No. Speaking of accents, when I was in, in college, the priest, when we would go home, the priest was African. And I guess my church, which my mom's church, St. Barnabas, would always have would always have like exchange programs with international priests on missions or whatever. And the big pronunciation for the African guy, and I hope this doesn't consider like a mocking his accent, but it just, it lit us up as kids, was when he said Jesus, it sounded like cheeses. So yeah, we'd like, be like Jesus Christ. And so we would be like, me and my brothers could not get over like
Jesus. The power of Jesus.
Yeah, yeah. Let Jesus inside of Jesus once said, like all the stuff. It like meant so, like we were like, we could not get over it. We, my mom having to take three boys between the ages of like, I mean, 6 to 13, like that's like fucking terror. We were like, and she's like, I just need my hour and a half of peace a week, and I got to bring three antsy ass motherfuckers who have no desire to be there and aren't behaved at home, like, you know, are feral at home. And now we're like, you're putting us in a fucking public.
It's like, it's the most unnatural thing in the world. Like, put on your most uncomfortable clothes, stand there, shut the fuck up while the softest voice, like egg salad eating motherfucker you've ever seen in your life is going to talk to you about something. Like, it's right. Just so like my brain, my job is to like, do like rebel against this. Like,
oh yeah. Everything in your body tells you, you said earlier, you would just like what I, you know, like I walk around and just see like all the girls there. The big thing I would always do, 'cause I was so obsessed with like action movies and shit, would be like, if I was like, I would imagine like raiding the church or defending the church, and I'd be like, I would have a sniper up there. I'd set charges here. Or if I was like a super, like, and it's like, I was literally just having dreams of terrorists attacking the church or me defending the church or me attacking the church. Like, I couldn't stop. And I just sit there and like do, because you are it, like, I don't think young people might not even understand the idea of being bored. If I'm being honest, like, if I don't want to sound like old man neighbors here.
Yeah.
Yeah. But like, you could, there, it wasn't even like there was a thing to look at. Like, you know, like there was, when you sit in the hospital waiting room or whatever, you can like stare at the TV or some shit. Yeah. But like here, you're just like, oh my God. And you're just like, and then you eventually learn the mask so well because you're like, yes, we're 9 minutes away from being out of here.
This homily is almost over.
Yeah. Once we're doing Peace Be With You, like whenever we were to get to Peace Be With You, that's when I knew we were fucking on the, because we left at communion. So I knew we had less than 10 minutes left once we were doing Peace Be With You.
Did you shake adult men's hands during Peace Be With You?
Yes.
It was such a weird thing.
Yes, of course.
It's such a strange thing. I mean, I had like, handshakes were so ingrained in me, like in the masculine, stupid way that my dad, to the point where like I, like, every time I shook a man's hand at church, they were always like, oh, you know, because I was like, hello. Like,
eye contact.
I was like, yeah, I was like, would make eye contact, like shake hard in my little green belt and my fucking knockoff starter jacket.
Karate outfit, trying to intimidate this man in front of his wife. Yeah.
I should have bowed. Old ladies would kiss you on the cheek and stuff like that. Like,
I didn't get that. What the fuck?
I think that's a looks thing. I'm sorry.
Man, this is how I find out.
I was a hot kid, you know?
I mean, I already told you I was driving the priest wild.
Yeah, because you were a fucking 12-year-old in high school. That's like the fucking...
That's
so much. Yeah, right. You were a maid. You had a fucking crucifix shaped target on your back.
So like, can anyone validate me?
I got you, son.
Did you guys go in the little room for the confession?
Yeah.
The
We didn't have a little room.
Yeah, but man, you really didn't get the Catholic experience.
We had to hold there. Maybe we did, but I didn't go. When we got it done, we had to go and hold their priest's hands and then tell him a thing. But then it's like, I guess if you go back, that's like the first time we ever did it, you know?
Right.
Like, because, you did it like on stage or whatever.
Yes.
Yeah.
Because the first one is like a step. Because there are the seven sacraments, nine sacraments or something like that, right? That like
there's no wrong answers.
Yeah. There's 12 stations of the cross. There's X amount of sacraments that you like go through in your life, and it's like baptism, which is like an early one, and then that's like your christening or baptism, and then there's
first communion.
Oh no, it's confession first, right?
Yeah, confession, then communion.
First confession, then first communion, and then confirmation, where you get to pick a fourth name.
Yeah. Did you guys get confirmed?
Damn, yeah, right. I was confirmed. Yeah,
I was a sponsor for someone to be confirmed. I guess it's like
I think I was my little brother's sponsor. I think like because right, it's kind of like you get like a best man type situation. Right?
I was I was. It kind of is. I was one of my high school friends' confirmation sponsors. No one cared and it was fine. It was great.
Yeah.
The priest.
Yeah, that's
like,
one of the fun ones. But then you're like, by the time confirmation came in like eighth grade, maybe, I feel like. And it was after I had been to bar mitzvahs and I was like, this is fucking whack.
Am I supposed to get like $2,500 and like girls sitting on my lap? And
yeah, aren't I supposed? Can't we make this predator themed or something like that?
Give me something here, Jesus Christ!
Oh, no, you get to pick a name from a saint that died a million years ago.
Yeah, and if it's a Gabrus family party, that means it's catered by grandma and it's in the VFW because your grandfather was a vet. And so it's like everything was just in VFWs with trays of meatballs.
She's like, these meatballs can cure cancer.
My birthday present every year was a tray of meatballs because my grandparents were like poor.
That sounds
and
like something mean was someone would say about you.
It would come in like, I mean, Joe, you're familiar with like the sterno and serving tray world, right?
Yeah, absolutely.
It would come in like a large serving tray and be like, I made Jonathan some meatballs. And now in hindsight, because my mom's side of the family is the Italian side. My dad's side is the like side that all like lied and no one knows where they're really from or anything like that. And his dad was abandoned him young. So he doesn't like, we don't know any of these real Gabruses. In hindsight, my grandma's meatballs, she was a caterer. They were just frozen meatballs in sauce. Like,
yeah.
And they were awesome, but they were just frozen meatballs in sauce, you know? And I was like, oh yeah, of course. And I'm like, this is what I got for my birthday every year. Was like catering food. Cool.
What name did you pick when you got confirmed?
Oh, that's interesting. I picked Christopher.
I
feel
Jerome.
Like that's a very Italian choice.
Yeah.
Jerome.
Yeah.
I picked Saint Dunstan because I thought it was funny.
Yeah.
And because
he was a monkey, right?
Musicians.
That worked at a hotel.
Yeah. It was before the movie came out. It was prescient.
Wait, Joe, what did you say your name was?
I was a Jerome. I just thought that was a cool name.
Jerome.
It is. Yeah, I went with Christopher, weirdly enough, because at the time, one of my best friends was named James and the other was Christopher. And my middle name is already James. So I thought it'd be fun to be Jonathan James Christopher Gabrus. Yeah.
Hell yeah.
But like, it never really comes into play in life in any way. I guess if you're like super religious, maybe at your wedding, like it broke my mom's heart that I didn't have a priest do my wedding. Like I got married in a barn and like a roommate fucking married us. And that like destroyed my mom.
Is she okay with it now? Did it like get resolved or is it like a still?
It's not a long drama. My brother, I married him. He has kids. He kind of had to do a christening like he's kind of having to do that with his kids because my mom is like that's too much drama to not do it. I guess.
Yeah. It's
and I'm like,
thing.
That's a crazy reason to do something. I mean, I get it, too. I don't have kids. So like but it's like that's like two generations away at this point.
Yeah.
Like you can like
Adam, you had a like stand up bit about this, about weddings that I always thought was so funny.
Well,
I don't know if you remember it or not.
I had, like, in my own just real life, my mother-in-law wanted us to get married in the church. And I was just like, no, absolutely not. This sounds terrible. It's an awful place. I don't like it. It's all weird. And everything about it just bums me out. She, like sat me down and like, really shook me down about this whole thing. So I had to, like, have a confrontation about it. But anyway, I had a stand up bit about it. I forget, but it was about like
I can say it back different to you.
Why is it different than like a Star Wars themed wedding or something? You know what I mean? Like whatever thing.
You were
my mom kept saying
like I really want it to be a Catholic wedding. I was like, well, I really like Star Wars, but I'm not going to ask to like stand up and have an old man talk about Star Wars at your wedding. Like,
It's really, and I mean, I guess if I would have gotten married at 23 or something like that, I might have ended up doing that because I wouldn't have felt fully realized or had like super strong opinions. But because I got married at like 31, I was like, I'd already lived out of my mom's house for like 8 years at that point. I was like, you kind of can't tell me what to do now.
Yeah. This is not real anymore. Getting in
you
trouble.
You don't magically see everything I do.
I think a huge revelation for me was that getting in trouble is fake. And I think that's Catholic somehow. It's at least partially Catholic, but I was like, oh, there's no such thing as getting in trouble. They just really hold that over you for a while.
They're weaponizing your own guilt against you.
Yes. Exactly.
I did an intense psilocybin therapy session, like one of those 6-hour trips where you like go do inner work and like talk to different versions of yourself. And I had come to a realization that I am still, and like my wife, like it had created some drama between me and my wife over the years and stuff. I am still like afraid of getting in trouble.
Yeah.
Even
man.
Though like if you know me based on my behavior, you wouldn't like assume, but like
you act like that because you're afraid of it. It's like, that's why I went fucking nuts in high school and college, because I was so afraid of it.
I was so afraid. And my parents were, and I always like, and I guess, Joe, you saying this is like kind of making me realize it might be under like the umbrella of Catholicism, or at least like the fire is flamed by Catholicism in some way. But yeah, I always thought it was because I had super strict parents that I was like so afraid, and I got in trouble for everything. And it would be like, anything would be like, oh, like you left the microwave open, or like, you know, like you finished the milk, like all this shit that would get you in trouble all the time. I talk about this way too much, but on Action Boys, we talk about how people our age are like the last people to get in trouble for accidents. I would get in trouble for like spilling something.
Yes.
Like I would get like hit for like not closing the fridge behind me, and it was open for a couple of hours. It's like, now you won't forget. And like one of the Action Boys, Ryan, he has a son. He's like, I couldn't even imagine like yelling at my kid for drop. The story Ryan told is his dad, he had an ice cream cone. He was going to get in his dad's car, and his dad said, don't you fucking spill that in the car. And Ryan just went over to the garbage and threw his ice cream out and didn't eat. And it's like, that's like the most heartbreaking shit, but also the real, like, that's the,
how kids are. Yeah,
I lost my jacket, or someone stole it out of my locker or something in like 9th grade, but I was getting so much trouble when I lost shit that I was too afraid to tell my parents until someone from the school like called my parents to let them know that Jonathan has been coming to school in the winter in the Northeast without a jacket every day and wanted to make sure everything was like okay at home. And my parents were like even angrier. And I was like,
that should be such a fucking wake up call. But right? It's just our parents did not have wake up calls. Like,
yeah, no, that made my dad angrier. And also my parents would love to say shit like, you know, you can come to us about anything. Be like, that's the most unfucking true statement you've ever said.
You heard Tim Allen say that, and now you're saying it to me. Yeah.
That's like fucking Christoph Waltz in Inglourious Basterds. Like, she's like walking to me into some sort of trap here, you fucking liars.
I was like 5. I tripped and fell onto the dryer door that was down and like broke it off the dryer. And my mom screamed at me and hit me so much that she still like begs my forgiveness for it. And I'm just like, no, I'm not forgiving.
I thought you were going to say her hand is still sore.
Sorry, that's on my mind every time I open a dryer and every time I pay $200 to talk to my fucking therapist. Like,
yeah, exactly.
But you're talking
about psilocybin. Like, I've been doing ketamine treatments from my therapist, and like, that's probably the closest thing to a religious experience I've had post-religion. Like, truly incredible shit. Like, confronting literal past versions of myself and stuff. It's been crazy.
Oh, that's, you know, I've when I did the psilocybin treatment, I had done mushrooms recreationally, so I understood it. I've never done K recreationally, so I don't fully even understand. Is there a hallucinogenic element, or is it more like meditative in a way or something? Because I remember like being around people on it, and it didn't feel like, it felt more like heroin, like they were just
most
like
of the time you're like zoned out, closing your eyes and looking at just random colors flashing before your eyes. Like, so like when I was doing that, confronting
41
that,
and I just went, oh, dude, cool,
it's so fucking like rules.
Colors. Oh man, I gotta try this.
Truly, I say ketamine, doing ketamine is like you're in a warm Norwegian cabin and someone just told you everyone you hate died. Like, it's just the best feeling on earth.
Wow,
that's great.
Do you feel something more than an acute change? Do you feel something that's a little more like global, like overall? Like, do you think like the treatment is helping you, or is it just like feels really good in the moment and it's helpful?
Yeah, it's less about the moment and more about it just like raises the sort of bottom line of depression for you. Like, it's really good. So it's not going to make you like cheery or anything, but it's just going to like, the stuff that seems like a big deal won't seem like such a big deal, which incredible. Is incredible.
Yeah. Oh, that's fucking awesome.
But yeah, so you're not like straight up hallucinating. Like, I didn't think I was literally in a room talking to myself or whatever. It just like put me right there and made me like really stew on it and like picturing it, but not like, you know what I mean? Like, it was intense. I was fucking crying on the bed. Like, it was incredible.
Dude, I don't talk about this too much, but in mine, it was me and two different versions of myself from like at age 12 and at age like 7, all three of us in my childhood basement, like talking at the same, and I was like conveying all the information to the therapist. I'm like, now the youngest one is saying blah, and like, and I was fuck hysterical. And the craziest part was anytime things were sad or happy, I could feel all three of our emotions kind of separately going at once. So when the 8-year-old was sad, all of us were sad. And I felt like three times as mounting of sadness. But then when we were like happy and having these breakthroughs, I felt like triple the strength of breakthrough. It was crazy.
Isn't it fucked
I wanted
up
to try. We should like, try jerking awesome. Off.
Come on, boys.
All right, kids, let me teach you how to jerk off. Like the shit that you were told to avoid at all costs is what's healing you from the thing that you were forced to do. Like,
jacking off.
Right.
Yeah.
Jacking off mushrooms and is healing me from Catholicism and alcohol.
Yeah.
let's try to find a fun part of Catholicism. The only thing that hits for it is Christmas. Because I went to a public school that was so full of Jewish kids, that was the only thing that like, Jewish kids like looked up to Christian kids, Catholic kids. Yeah. Was like it was like that.
Saluting.
The only positive thing we had was the only thing they were envious of was Christmas.
I love the picturing you like walking into high school dressed like Santa and all these like Jewish girls like, who's that?
Shoulders back, strutting around.
Easy, Trisha. I'm gonna put you on the naughty list.
Oh no, please.
She's like, we don't like lists. I was like, oh okay, yeah. Got it.
Oh, swing and a miss, gamers. Yeah, man, Christmas fucking goes. It's such a like a weird combination of elements that totally works, but if you had to reverse engineer it, make absolutely no sense.
Well, just funny that Christmas Mass or Christmas Eve Mass or Midnight Mass is such a huge part of it for Catholics, mm-hmm. but yeah. That is the only like religiosity, or maybe you say grace. We weren't a weekly grace family, but we on Christmas and Easter said grace.
Oh, interesting.
But Christmas and Thanksgiving, I think some old grandma or grandpa would make us say grace or some mm-hmm. shit. Jonathan, why don't you lead us? And it's like, Mom, why don't you lead us? Because I think you can't remember it either. Right? but like it just instantly, the second you leave church, it's like, yes. Presents,
yep.
Shrimp cocktail. Let's fucking go. Quiche.
I was like looking up at the sky for Santa Claus. I remember that every after midnight mass or whatever, being like, "All right, now it's time. It's like time for the good part."
It would feel like a Friday at school when you got out of mass.
Yeah.
Like on Christmas Eve mass, you'd be like, "We just have to get through this," and then it's presents. Yeah, we got to go see fucking grandma and grandpa. They're two different grandma's houses. That's annoying. But it's presents, it's dessert, it's fucking food, it's lasagna, it's ham, it's all the fucking hits.
God, for that reason, I loved Saturday Mass because it was like, you go to Mass on Saturday and then you don't have it hanging over your fucking head all week. It's like you're done with it early.
Right. Sunday scaries, fuck going to work on Monday. Sunday scaries is having to go to fucking Mass on Sunday morning. Especially like as you got older and you were like, thank God I had sports and shit. I would be like, oh, I'd rather, like, I think part of the thing that got me so into like stupid activities and clubs and shit was like to get out of stuff. Cause there's that time in your life where you don't have any agency where you're like, your mom's like, I'm going to have coffee with Rhonda. You're coming. And you're like, what?
Yeah.
I'm like, mm-hmm. I'm 11. Like, I don't want
to
be.
She's got a 6-year-old son you've never seen in your life, and you're going to have to talk. Like, you so right. entertain.
Talk
dude.
About Pokemon. Do the thing. Yeah.
Dude, that is the craziest shit ever, is like forced to hang out with like your friend. I mean, the other equivalent is like when you're in your like 20s and your partner,
yep,
you have to hang out with your partner's friends' partners. And it's like,
it still happens.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, it still happens. But I think we're a little more curated that we have so many of our couple friends are couples friends, mm-hmm, yeah, like all like kind of equally all across the board. But in your 20s, it would be like, this is my college girlfriend. All right, the girls are going to do blank. You talk to fucking Dan, who's like, yeah, way too creepy about fucking talking about fucking this girl that you know as your girlfriend's roommate. You're like, okay, man. Like, that was always
like,
weird.
Like, you ever
vibes.
Try and riff with one of these normals? Like, you're so used to like comedy people and you start riffing and they're like, no, I don't know what you mean.
Like, it's like, that's fucked up. Why would you say that? Why are you like, saying the most horrible shit I've ever heard in my life?
Here's the most normie response that you know you're out on a fucking limb alone. Wait, are you being serious right now?
Yeah.
You're like, no. It's another one of these guys. Like, I must. You, oh, yes, I am serious. I do think we should sit down and both eat our fucking sneakers, you fucking numbnut.
You dunce.
What do you mean by that?
Yeah.
Oh, fucking man. Wedding table disease. I hate it.
Oh, dude. Fuck steakhouse syndrome.
This is
wedding table disease is a fucking nightmare.
Have you been to a wedding where they don't sit you next to your wife? Because I've been to two.
What? I've been to one, and it was like one of the first weddings I went to in my 20s. Because my wife was a bridesmaid, they sat on the dais or whatever.
Oh.
And so I was with like the scraps at a table. So I was with like, what's the wedding singer thing? Table 8, you're going to be alone forever or whatever. Yeah. Like that was us, like the mutants at table 8. I was there with like the single freaks and like all the partners of, and one of the guys was like obsessed with like drinking, like, and I was too, but I
you know we can
talk
have all
about
we
it.
Want tonight.
Yes, he was like, bro, I'm gonna have like 10 and this wedding was so stupid, it had only Labatt Blue and Labatt Blue Light to drink, like beers, and I was he's like, bro, I'm gonna have like 100 blues. I'm like, okay, man. Cool.
He's like fucking, oh yeah, no, I got one big beer. The world
Joe's doing
Labatt
a carrot
blue.
Top bit right
physical
now.
Physical comedy. I have a
Joe. Where are you
Labatt
from? That you have an affinity for Labatt.
I come from a thrifting family. That was from an estate sale.
Oh, okay.
I have no attachment to the beer, but if you see a gigantic beer bottle of Labatt, you get it.
And you're allowed to keep it. Like yeah, I don't. I no. guess my house is a little different than yours.
This is my Cullen's Cars thing. As I get stupid bullshit like that.
Fair. Yeah, mine is spending like hundreds of dollars on video games every quarter. That is like, and then me bitching about the cost of like makeup and stuff like that.
Give me a break with this.
Come on, Jesus Christ! What are you doing there? I gotta get the 512 gig Steam Deck for 20% off.
It's like you're spending money on a thing that's societally expected of you. Like, what's wrong?
Yeah, my shit is for fucking Arrested Development. Oh,
yeah.
So is there other positive elements of Catholicism outside of Christmas?
I think like, Catholic school for me was like horrible sometimes, but also cool sometimes. Like. Stuff that, like, in public school, maybe you, like, automatically had to get in trouble for. Brother Gary would just be like, you're a good kid. You don't have to, like, we don't have to tell the cops about this or whatever. Like,
right. And I think that's because, like, you know, teachers are probably paid a little better, have a little care about, like, the Catholicism element of it. And forgiveness is being such a big thing, you know, act of contrition. Yeah, in public school, it's just like this woman has like, I don't have fucking time for you.
Like, right, I will be fired if I don't like send you to suspension.
Right.
I was like, yeah, it was like kind of a decent vibe at high school. And then like, I feel like pancake breakfast is sort of a Catholic thing. It's the only other thing I can think of.
But yeah, that feels like Catholic. That feels like a small town thing as much as a Catholic thing. But I know what you're saying. Like, I do think like if instead of Catechism, they just made us like volunteer one day a week, it would have been like way more enriching than almost any.
Oh, absolutely. And, I did have to do that in high school. We had to do service mm-hmm. projects once a quarter, which was cool.
Yeah, we had to do that as part of like pig participation in government. The one a semester you had to take senior year. Yeah.
That's like a fucking Simpsons joke.
I know. Well, it's called participation in government. Everyone called it pig, and you had to take it in your senior year, and you kind of just like learned a little bit about like voting and like registering to vote and like being a part of society. You learned like what, you know, like stupid shit like that. No one ever once taught us about like credit cards or like no one even talked to me about like
college
credits and like graduating. Like no one explained any of that shit to me. Like not even my parents. Like,
oh, no.
Like
in Catholic
I was
high
out on a
school,
fucking
yeah.
limb.
Yeah. I had no experience with that. I remember one teacher who was probably not the smartest dude just gave like sat us down and we watched a John Stossel segment about like how the government's full of shit. And it was just like, that's it. That's all I know about the real world is that I guess John McCain kicks ass or something. It was weird. We didn't get
so much. I did have a weird Catholic loophole when I was young, which was that we were like New Orleans Catholics when I was young, which is like,
ooh,
there's like shit
fun.
Built into that with like, yeah, like Mardi Gras, you're supposed to sin before Lent and you wear a mask so God don't see you. Mm-hmm. And like all that kind of shit, like red beans and rice on Sunday. Like,
awesome.
That had cool shit with it. Yeah.
Yeah. My version of that was being a Long Island Catholic, Italian Catholic was, Fridays in Lent, you had pizza without pepperoni.
I'm sure that's the Pope is like, hell yeah, good job, guys.
Good work, guys. You took meat off 4 days out of the year. That's the same thing as abstaining from something for 40 days. That's funny. Yeah, I forgot about the regional Catholic shit, because that's cool. Yeah. Like, that's when religion seems cool. Although New Orleans makes like everything seem cool.
Absolutely,
like,
just, yes.
It makes like degenerate lifestyle seem cool.
Well, a funny thing about New Orleans is like I didn't even know what a county was until I moved out of Louisiana because it's all parishes. It's like divided by Catholic zones.
Oh, right. Yeah. That's fucking cool. That's fucking rad. I mean, like, that's it for like Catholicism. Like, there's nothing else that's like cool about it. There's nothing like fun about it. It's all like, you couldn't even like trick an adult into like, even in its like beliefs and its dogma, there doesn't exist stuff that like,
yeah,
it's like, of course this isn't like actionable, but isn't this an interesting belief? Like there's nothing. It's all misery. It's all to avoid abject misery. It's all avoiding hell, which was kind of like already what my childhood was. And like, but, like, and hell just had like way more meanings than just like a place underground with the devil. Yeah.
Catholic heaven is you worship God for eternity. It's church. You go to church forever. That's what you're working for.
Well, that sounds miserable.
It sounded like hell sounded like, well, I don't even get it, because if it's like, if you're bad, you go to hell, the devil's bad, you're just like hanging out with like your bad friends. Why would hell be bad if you're a bad person? It drove me insane that was like the thing. I was like, this sounds fine. Everyone gets to go where they're supposed to go. It's no big deal.
I could also never unpack. I'm like, well, God lets you guys go to hell? Like, isn't he like supposed to be like this gracious God? And he's like, well, not if you don't do your fucking confession, then you go to hell. Or like, wait, what? Not if you eat meat on a Friday. Yeah.
Imagine like a human being who is like, you used my name disrespectfully. You have to go to prison forever.
I know.
Like, I'm supposed to worship this guy. Like,
yeah, it's kind of, he's pretty fickle for a guy you're betting on the rest of your eternity on. Of like,
he's a big fucking baby.
Don't say shit while you're in heaven. You're gonna this is terrible.
Oh, that's fucking because the idea of heaven was never like articulated in a way that made it seem great. You know what I mean?
No.
Like, I had there was one version. Like, I had this is not even. I think it's the first time anything from church ever stuck with me. It was a priest talking about heaven and hell, because it cleared up in my mind why it was a thing you wanted. But he's like, heaven and hell look identical in structure, and it's a big table. And I was like, this. Okay, so it's like everybody's sitting at this table, and that no one can move their elbows, and it's and the table is filled with food. And everyone in heaven is fine because they're all feeding each other. But in hell, everyone's starving to death because they refuse
to feed
other people.
Everyone's starving and screaming at each other.
Yes. And I was like,
yeah, I had heard it. I had heard the parable I had heard was spoons for arms. And like you would feed each other. But in hell,
you're getting into weird body horror.
In hell, you can't feed yourself. but in heaven you feed each other. Like, you can't feed yourself with your spoon arms. You only can splash hot soup on yourself.
Which also, I'm like a little
kid.
Like...
I'm like a little fat kid who's like, soup sucks. I don't want to go like, like that doesn't. I want fucking chicken fingers, dude.
It's also, you know, not to be that guy, but it's like, you know, it's socialism you're talking about. Right? Right, that's right. Socialism.
Well, that's what's really crazy about. I mean, like, this is like, not no one's not said. This has been said millions.
Religion
of times.
Religion 101 shit.
Yeah, but this is what's crazy is that like what religion means in America is like insane. Yeah. You know what I mean? Like it has no bearing on like no one acts anything. Oh, to be fair, I shouldn't say no one. A lot of there are people who behave in like a heavenly Jesus like churchly manner who are using their time to help others and blah blah blah. But a majority of people wield Christianity like a fucking weapon. Like,
absolutely.
And it's like, and that's it. It's just like, and there's like the idea of putting like any religious iconography on weapons is like, you know, fucking Trump Jr. has like an AR-15 with like a Templar cross on it. And you're just like, I was like, you're just, these two worlds are not supposed to be together. We're not supposed to be Christian and warmongering. Like
an AR-15 scope that says John 3:14 in it is a thing I have seen. Like,
Jesus,
it's fucking crazy. But also, even the heavenly people, it's kind of fucked up where it's like 14-year-old Trisha is raising money to go to like Africa to build houses. It's like, just give them the money. They don't need some 14-year-old girl to get in the way while they're trying to build houses for themselves.
Catholic Church is like fucking loaded. Absolutely loaded. Dude, in the movie Lawnmower Man, which I just recently watched.
Well, I knew we were going to get there eventually.
I knew it was coming.
There's just a throwaway line in the movie where it's like, I can't believe you took their dirty money to develop this weapon. He's like, all money's been dirty since the Catholic Church started putting their money in banks. And it's like just a throwaway line. And it really like illuminated something for me between that and when I was in my 20s and I learned that the largest holder of real estate in New York City, the most opulent real estate in America, is owned by the Catholic Church. Second is NYU. And first is the Catholic Church as the largest landholders in the five boroughs. That's fucking crazy. So the money they had, like, my mom is like telling me we can't have this and can't have this and can't have that, and then dropping a dollar in the fucking basket every week.
Yeah, hell yeah. We didn't get cheese on our hamburgers because we want to pay the extra 30 cents. You're giving 10% of your fucking income to this.
We had water with dinner every night. Like, it was like water. It's like, what? Who wants water? And it would just be water with dinner, or you had to have skim milk. So we were like, all right, water is it. And then your fucking mom is dropping it's Christmas. We should put a 20 in there. I'm like, we should put a 20 in the fucking homeless guy, the unhoused guy who lives fucking on the street four blocks from here.
Yes.
We figured it out.
We solved it. Direct mutual aid. It's the only answer. I feel like, and I like that there is the stuff. A lot of people are getting the stuff that previous generations got from church elsewhere. That feels good. Like the sense of community, where they're getting it from fucking Zog Sports Dodgeball or like the Reddit Choke Me forum or whatever, you know, like
those are the two things.
Those are my two things. That's the Venn diagram. That's what my Tinder profile says.
Oh, Lordy.
Before we get out, and we are all headed to mass together right now, but before we go, we want to tell the shitheads, the listeners, a little bit about football friends who are gamblers.
Football friends who are gambling. We chose the name because it was the worst possible name we could think of, the clunkiest name.
Too many words, too many syllables. There's a parentheses in there. Yeah. It's fucking awesome.
It's FF.
WAG. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay.
And Joe's pitch was to call us Footpalls because it'd be funny if we were named Paul.
Can you imagine if we were both named Paul? That'd be awesome. It'd be perfect. So if there's two Pauls out there that want to do this, you can have it.
You can buy the rights.
I'll sell you the Twitter handle.
So it's a show where every week me and Joe talk about all the bets that we lost and make predictions for the next week. And it's mostly just our descent into gambling addiction. Like, Joe didn't gamble really before the podcast, and now he's losing thousands of dollars every week. Like,
it's not good.
It's ruining his life. We had
part of the show, like, is about this.
Last week we had Dan, or 2 weeks ago, we had Dan Cronin, the wonderful Conan writer, such a sweet man. And he's like, yeah, I really have a handle on gambling. You know, I like, sometimes I start to enjoy it too much, so I take a break from it whenever that happens. And then, like, the next day, he's texting us parlays for college football. I was like, oh no, what did we do?
I feel guilty. I don't think we should do this anymore.
Oh, I lost all the bets we placed on Super Bowl Sunday last year. Like,
you
I
are the most successful guest of the podcast, though.
Because I hit that one parlay that we all jumped on, the money line and over.
And you bet like $300 and I had to pay you like $800 on it.
I know. And I was like, oh, that's rad. And then afterwards you were like, it's really hard to get the money out of this thing. I'm like, oh, I am so sorry.
It's not your fault. We don't know much about football. We sort of go off of the vibes of the teams or how it feels.
Hell yeah.
I'm a big Bears fan, which has been
terrible vibes.
Insane so far this year.
Bad vibes.
Wait, didn't a coach just get fired? And they're like, we're not even going to tell you what he did.
Yes, they won't say what it is. Yesterday, I got a text from Joe that was like, "Hey, your coach is a pedophile."
It's got to be pedophilia, right?
It's got to be, right?
If the FBI
allegedly,
or it's domestic terrorism or something. Yeah. That's the only other thing. But it feels like pedophilia is closer.
He's going
to be landing a last Boy Scout, maybe.
Oh, fuck. That'd be awesome. That's Billy Blanks, 8-time Taekwondo and kickboxing champion.
Hell yeah.
And inventor of Taibo.
Yeah.
My other religion.
So we're doing bad. But I got my hopes up because at the Super Bowl, I made a shitload of money. And so now I'm like, I'm flying high. And then it's, you know, you can't hold on.
Well, you made a ton of money and the Chiefs won.
Yes, I was riding high. I was on top of the world.
That's pretty fucking. Yeah, I'm a Giants fan, so this season is already pretty weird.
Yeah,
I couldn't believe that I shut the game off last week. Like, I watched all of the Dallas game, and I shut the game off last week, and now I'm recording with you while Thursday Night Football is happening.
Right. Oh, hell yeah.
We're in the middle of the game.
And I got to go do improv after this. Thank God I'm not going to stay home and watch one of the few nationally televised games I could watch. Sick.
Here's my pitch to the podcast. Last week, I hit 14 out of 16 picks in like, who's going to cover the spread. And then the week before that, I lost $1,000 on the Bears because I said they would beat the Packers. So that's the kind of advice you're getting on the show.
Man, if you hit a 14-way parlay, Jesus Christ.
I wouldn't be here.
I wouldn't be doing this stupid podcast.
I'd be in fucking Bermuda.
Here's something I want to tell you guys. There is a little honorarium for guesting on High and Mighty. Yeah, so listeners, follow these guys. Their social media shit will be in the posts about the show and in the show notes. Listen to their podcast. Take your phone out, whatever you're listening to this on right now. Open it up and subscribe to Football Friends or Footballs or FF Wag, whatever you need to search. And listen, check it out. And I definitely recommend listening to the Super Bowl episode. You got Eddie Pepitone and a live D&D game based on Eagles and Chiefs, which was fun as hell.
It was very fun.
But here, you get a little honorarium for doing the show. I would say, why don't I match that with my money and we place that all on a bet together and we could go halvesies on some sort of bet.
Hell yeah. Let's do that for sure.
Yeah. All right. I will message you guys all about this, but I will now Venmo you 2x what it is and we'll get in there.
All right.
Joe, Cullen, thank you so much for coming on High and Mighty.
Thank you for having us. I always love coming on here.
Yeah, please. It's a blast to catch up with you guys. Cullen, we still have to do our survivalist courses.
It's going
to
happen.
Yeah, I mean, I need two jobs in the next 6 months, two little jobs in the next 6 months, and then I'm game. I'll be able to do it in the spring. Speaking of two jobs, check out Action Boys, my my podcast, Patreon podcast, behind a paywall. That'd be great. I'm not going to plug anything else in solidarity with SAG and WGA, and not because I don't have anything else going on, but I'm all
hero.
Speaking of solidarity, I'll just tell you guys this and the listeners real quick. I was at Art's Deli in Studio City the other day having lunch with a friend, and a dude walked out of the bathroom with a fucking SAG aftershirt on with like the fan. I like raised my fist and said, "Solidarity, brother."
Hell yeah.
but he was a black guy. So he came out of the bathroom and just saw some white guy be like, yeah. And I was like, oh, man, what the fuck did
I
do? I'm union guy. I wasn't no stolen valor or cultural appropriation shit here. I'm in both unions. Yeah. But that being said, no plugs, bitch. Check out Football Friends, who are gamblers. Gamblers. We are gamblers.
Thanks,
gamblers. Bum, ba, da, da, bum, bum. Bye, shitheads. I am mighty.
That was a HeadGum Podcast.
In a part of the world where there are no rules.
Holy shit.
Holy shit, guys. Holy, I'm so pumped.
I definitely have not watched this since I rented it on VHS in 92.
Strangers united by the threat of death.
We got all the fucking major players. Seagal.
Vladimir Putin is a good man.
Arnold.
Here, come. Give it to me.
I need you to cream pie me now.
Stallone.
People are loving this movie.
It's got a lot of heart.
You're mentally irregular.
Now. Somewhere, somehow,
body blow,
someone's gonna pay.
I would fucking love for my wife to, like, see me rip a guy's throat out.
But they didn't count on one thing.
This movie's fucking insane. It's how you know it's a good movie. You have to do almost all the work yourself to figure it out.
Oh, there's a fantasy component. Yeah. There's some sword fighting.
There's some lightning.
Bam, 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 bam.
There's a new game in town.
You wake up after a few years, and then you don't even know who you are anymore.
We're going to be making Terminators.
We're going to make a really great deal with the Xenomorphs.
What? I don't hate them, but I've been in a room with them.
Yes, I understand.
This is now the 20th ending of the movie.
I'm Dark.
I'm your dad.
Action, boys. Boys will be boys.
Subscribe here for bonus content and more free stuff from behind the paywall. To get new episodes, become a patron at actionboys.biz.
Do it! Do it! Come on! Do it now!